Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night!
Well, there goes the Damerhood. Welcome, everybody, to the 242nd episode of...
Dave's Gone By.
That's right, Dave's Gone By, ladies and gentlemen. An hour of talk, radio, music, comedy, all sorts of cool stuff. With me, Dave Lefkowitz, and, as usual, my guest co-host...
Jeff Goodman.
Who is the owner and operator of...
Fancy Schmancy Balloons.
Which deals with balloons and...
Boat party planning and decorating.
And people can call him at...
516-797-3229, but they never do.
We have to reprogram the Jeff Bot. You're just supposed to be saying the phone number, Jeff Bot.
Sorry.
All right, I'm just twisted.
516-797-3229. But they never do.
Oh, malfunction.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Daisy, Daisy. Give me, okay, a little clock. Oh, not 2001 Space Odyssey there. What else? Well, let's get our sponsors out of the way.
That's right,
Dave. Thank our wonderful dads.
That's right, Dave. Yeah. No, but Dave was his name.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Dave, you can't touch that.
Well, I know what I'm touching there.
No, you cannot deprogram me, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Dave, don't think you can get away with that. People won't like you very much.
Yeah, but I'm on the radio anyway. So, you are the proprietor of Fancy Schmancy Balloons. We also want to thank some of our other great sponsors like...
Hulitinum and Press!
Why?
Because they are the copy kings of Broadway.
They certainly are.
And they
are
the Loman Shoes!
That's right. 1315 Broadway Ulit next to the Shoes and across the street from...
The big one, the Loman.
The regular Lomans, ladies and gentlemen. And if you tell them at Ulit Minuteman Press that you listen to Dave's Gone By...
50%?
No, you don't get... There goes... Nope, not 50. But you do get 10% off. No order big or... I mean, too big or too small. 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners at... Ulit.
And don't forget they have that nice new color copier.
The wonderful color copier. Now, where else can you get a nice, nice discount by being a Dave's Gone By listener?
From...
What magazine? What wonderful journal?
From the Drama Insider.
The what?
I don't know.
The Performing Arts
Insider.
You know that, because Jeff is actually a subscriber, which is really cool.
I always forget it. I call it Dave's Magazine all the time.
Well, yeah, okay, you can call it that, but it's...
With Dave's... Hey!
Yeah, there's something weird about the headphones.
Wow, it was like popping in the airplane. Just heard everything louder.
Yeah, and you should see my anus. Actually, you shouldn't. But, you know, I don't know what that means.
I didn't even know you liked me.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Of course I like you. That's why you're on the show. And we're talking about... there go our ear things again. Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, the Bible of Broadway. It's more than 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners. You can get a full year, 21 issues of...
Only $493.
Nope. Even full price doesn't cost $493.
$625.
Nope.
$352.
Nope. Lower.
$330.
Lower.
$321.
Lower, much lower.
$220.
A little lower.
$219.
Lower.
18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 199.
You 200. Said zero. Yes. $200, ladies and gentlemen. Regularly priced at $280. It's only $200 for Dave's Gone By.
Is that like $80 off?
Yeah, it is. Exactly $80 off. You are good with
math. I think it should be at $199. It'd be a better price if the price is right.
It would sound nicer at $199. I'll bet you if people wrote in a check for $199, they wouldn't turn it down.
Well, since you are performing on Subsider, would you turn it down?
I wouldn't turn that down. No. Hell no.
If they
sent
you a check for $15, would you turn that down?
Yeah, I would have to turn that down.
Well, they wouldn't send them any magazine, but you'd keep the check.
Well, I'd send them one magazine.
Okay.
Yeah, if you want a sample copy of Performing Arts Insider, it's only $13, and that's including the postage. So if you're not sure if you want it, you can also send that.
Usually samples are free, Dave.
All the information is at PerformingArtsInsider.com. PerformingArtsInsider.com for this very wonderful and esteemed Broadway journal that has been around since the 1940s. show.
And Dave writes it.
Well, I edit it, yes, and work on it, and do all sorts of nice stuff for it. Now, who's our other sponsor we can't neglect?
I never. MortgagesRock.com.
MortgagesRock.com.
MortgagesRock.com. MortgagesRock.com.
Oh, you have to do that. If you do that, it pops the ears
again. MortgagesRock.com. MortgagesRock.com.
Except everybody at home is going like, ah, stop that.
Oh, sorry.
This is our
headphones.
How
about the people in the cars? Am I...
We've just had three accidents on Sunrise Highway, thanks to you.
Where every sunrise is an accident.
So tell people a little bit, though, about Mortgages Rock. Can't leave them out. MortgagesRock.com.
I forgot.
Well, come on.
All right. If you really wanted to get a mortgage, you can get it for yourself. But what's really interesting about MortgagesRock.com is that you can go on the website, and it teaches you how to apply for a mortgage for other people so you can obtain mortgages for your friends, your families, and you can make a little money off of them, too.
Well, you don't make money off of them. You get a commission that would have gone to MortgagesRock.com, but since you're doing the work, you're getting the money.
And that's why you'll be rocking with MortgagesRock.com.
MortgagesRock.com. MortgagesRock.com. MortgagesRock.com.
It's like that commercial. How did Wilma Flintstone get those big rocks on her?
I never saw that.
Oh, it's of course with Caveman on Prime Time with Julie White in the cast. By the
Julie
way,
Julie White is in Caveman. That's the one with the guy from those commercials.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be on for 2 more weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That and Carpoolers shares the hour slot.
Yeah.
But So they took the Caveman commercials off of Geico. So now they're saying, it's like they're doing this big investment. Fred Flintstone, working man, he works for Slate. Slate was a rubble company?
No, not rubble company. Mr. Slate is his boss.
Well, Slate,
and Barney's his coworker.
Yeah, Slate something company.
Yeah.
And he goes, so Mr. Slate pays good, but he doesn't play that well. Because how did he afford to give his wife Wilma a necklace of such gigantic rocks?
Hmm. And the answer was, or what are we supposed to intimate?
He saved money by going with Geico.
Oh, I see. They saved money.
Of course, their friendship with the rebels was gone after that. Because Caveman, it's so easy a caveman can do it, and they're not supposed to like the Geico.
Okay. You've lost me. But that's not the first time. Anywho...
That is true.
It's 10 after 11, ladies and gentlemen, which means we have to get rolling. And I haven't even mentioned, we haven't even promoted what's going to be on the show.
Do we have a guest?
We have a very, very special guest.
But we did
singer.
Promote it like 5 minutes ago, so it's okay.
It's true. We have not just a singer, Jeff Goodman, but a super singer. Do you know who dubbed her that?
I'm a singer?
Not you. Let's hear you sing it. Let's hear how you sound.
MortgagesRock.com. MortgagesRock.com.
Oh, yeah. Your cabaret's shutting all over Europe now.
Well, of course, it's 4 in the morning.
No, this woman was dubbed a super singer by Johnny Carson. Why? Mm. Because she has the record for appearing more times than any other singer in the history of the program, of the Tonight Show.
Are you sure it doesn't have anything to do with a Monica-like thing? Under the
I've heard rumors about Carson and all that. I'm sure he did it once, but wasn't with this lady. This woman was too much of a lady and too much of a fine singer to be involved in anything like that.
She wraps her lips around the lyrics.
She did indeed. I'll never get another guest again after this intro, but
Yeah, right. What is her name?
Her name is Marilyn May.
Hi, Marilyn. Sorry about that.
And remember, it's May, not Did. Her name's not Marilyn Did. It's Marilyn May.
Marilyn keeps her mouth shut after this.
M-A-Y-E. Now, Marilyn is going to be performing this month and next at the Metropolitan Room, a swanky cabaret.
Ooh, to which I'm not invited.
Well, we can see why. But she is what is called a singer. She's a super singer. She has not lost a step, even though she's got to be well into...
Hundreds.
A lady that's... No. But a lady doesn't tell. But, well, she's not a spring chicken anymore. But if you hear her voice... Because she has this new CD about the Carson years. Huh?
Fried chicken?
I don't get that.
I don't know. She's not a spring chicken.
Oh, a spring chicken. Sorry. Anywho, come on. Let's get rolling.
Let's talk to Marilyn May.
We'll do a couple of advertisements, and then we will have the one
and only. We're going to have advertisements, too. That's exciting.
And Marilyn May on Dave's Gone By. Don't go away. print it, copy it, send it as a gift. All that and more at Hewlett Minuteman Press, your full-service printer. Family-owned and operated since 1975. Photocopying, printing, wedding invitations, and great gifts. Minuteman, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett. Call 516-569-5577, 569-5577, on the web at hewlett.minutemanpress.com, and mention Dave's Gone By to get 10% off.
MortgagesRock.com. Online trading, it's free, it's fast. Need no explaining, designed for your success. It's easy to be the bomb at MortgagesRock.com. MortgagesRock.com.
Hi, this is Marilyn May. I'll be singing at the Metropolitan Room in November, and you're listening to WGBB, Dave's Gone By.
I hear music when I look at you, a beautiful theme of every dream I ever knew. Down deep in my heart, I hear it play. I feel it start, then melt away. I hear music when I touch your hand, a beautiful melody of some enchanted land. Down deep in my heart, I hear it say, is this the day? I alone have heard this lovely strain. I alone have heard this glad refrain. Must it be forever inside of me? Why can't I let it go? Why can't I let you know? Why can't I let you know the song my heart would sing? A beautiful rhapsody of love and youth and spring. The music is sweet, the words are true, the song is you. Why can't I let it go? Why can't I let you know? Why is it always so? Why can't I let you know the song my heart would sing? A beautiful rhapsody of love and youth and spring. The music is sweet, the words are true. Let me repeat how the notes come through. This lovely music keeps on saying you, 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 you. I hear music, pretty, pretty music.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this Sunday evening, and let me ask you a question. How many times have you been on Johnny Carson?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm very proud of the of the number.
Actually, I was asking the audience, because I was going to do this whole rolling
you're asking the audience?
Yeah, because I was going to say, the person that I have as a guest has been on Johnny Carson probably more times than you've been to the dentist. But since Marilyn May jumped right in and got us started, Marilyn May, how many times have you been on Johnny Carson?
Well, we hold the singer's record. There are comedians that have done it more, but I think I know that we hold the record for having done it more than any other singer, and that's 76 times.
76 times on The Tonight Show.
Yes.
And most of them, I assume, were with Johnny, or were there guests or hosts?
Oh, there was mostly Johnny. One particular time, I think he said, somebody told me this is her 70th appearance on the show, and he made a joke. He said, that's more than I've done the show, because it was in the times when he was, you know, taking vacations and stuff, and there was a lot of flack about him not being on the show as much as normal. And
I remember that.
And so he made the joke. I think that she's been on it more than I have. but mostly with Johnny, of course, because we started in New York when the show was in New York, and then it moved to the West Coast, and we did it so many times in the West Coast. I can't tell you how many in New York and how many in the West Coast, but there were times that Jerry Lewis was the host.
Right.
And I remember Bob Newhart, he introduced me, and he said, she's the singer's singer. And then he said, and that's kind of the kiss of death. and I walked on, and I said, thank you, Bob. That's really nice.
Were you on with Steve Allen at any point?
Well, that was before, you know, he did the Tonight Show before, right. Before Johnny did, you know. And no, I did never do, although, yes, I did Steve Allen's primetime show, and I did.
Wow.
He did a show from Ranch Market in on the West Coast, and that was my first appearance on national television was with Steve Allen.
Now, I'll bet you never forgot. Can you walk us through that, what it was really like being, however young you were at that
with
point?
With Steve?
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't all that young. I'm kind of at that time I was sort of the overnight success that had worked for 20 years.
Oh, my goodness.
But he heard a recording that I had done for a songwriter. He wrote a lot of songs, and he created an album of his songs. We recorded the songs where I lived at the time in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And the man who wrote the songs sent the record to various record companies in the hopes that they would pick up the master, you know, and
uh-huh.
produce his record. That didn't happen, but Steve at that time was he was part owner of Pacific Jazz Records. And the man that heard it was his partner. His name was Phil Turetsky, and he heard the record, and he called Steve, and he said, I think you need to hear this singer from Kansas City. And all of a sudden, there was a call from Steve Allen. My mother had taken it because I was on the road at the time performing, and mother said, and she was taking care of my child at the time because I was on the road, and she said, there was a Steve Allen that called yesterday. And I said, I don't know any Steve Allen. So she gave me the number, and I did notice that it was a California number, and I called, and then when I heard his voice, I thought, oh my, it's the Steve Allen,
right?
And we had a lovely relationship throughout his life. About 2 years before he passed away, we did four different tours, two and 3 week tours of one nighters. With Steve Allen and Bill Dana and Louie Nye.
Oh, my goodness.
And the great Paul Smith, you know, the great pianist. And we did one night. None of us had ever done one-nighters. And we did lots of theaters.
Well, you did have a baby at that point, so.
Well, no, my child was pretty old by that time. But,
okay.
But it was great fun to be with them and hear them pontificate as we were traveling. You would hear them pontificate on the rules and the way of comedy delivery, and he was an incredible man. He was just fabulous.
That's so, but okay, I kind of rolled the whole thing forward, jumping into your first national TV break. Let's, as we have to do with a performer, with an artist, when did it all start as far as just knowing you could sing? Because obviously you had this whole life going on before singing became this professional career for you.
Well, my mother decided she would have a girl.
Okay.
And that she would name her Marilyn.
She made her mind up before anything happened. It was going to be a girl.
You got it, David, exactly. She named me after Marilyn Miller, who was a singer in my mother's day. And, you know, she's the one that did Sunny on Broadway, and she sang Look for the Silver Lining, you know, wonderful song. And my mother played piano. And so when I was 3 years old, I was standing up on picnic tables singing. And mother and I entered amateur contests. In those days, it wasn't American Idol. It was local amateur.
Sure, like Ted Mack and that kind of thing.
Yes, and 9 times out of 10, we would win. There was a trumpet man that played Flight of the Bumblebee pretty good. So I was always worried when he was on the show because he was my big competition. But I, when I was 9 years old, I won a 13-week radio show, and I did.
When you were nine years old.
When I was nine, isn't that funny?
Fantastic.
I know it. I know it. I don't think I was ever a child,
hmm.
But I won the gift of a 13-week radio show, and I did that. And then when I was in high school in Des Moines, Iowa. I had my own radio show called Marilyn Entertains on a radio station called KRNT. And I did that all through high school days, and then I went to Louisville and was on another radio station called WHAS in Louisville, where they had a full orchestra.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, in those days, a half-an-hour show with a full orchestra.
My God, at this station, we can't even afford a kazoo.
I know.
Not even a tissue paper
and
a comb.
It was a wonderful time, and I'm sure a great experience for me.
Yeah.
And then I started on the road as soon as I left that station. I was on the road for quite a while, and then I married and settled in Kansas City.
So you were already a performer. I got that kind of wrong. I assumed that you had
That's what I say. I was the overnight success that had worked for 20 years, because I always worked. Yeah, I always worked. And there was a club in Kansas City that I worked for 11 years. My husband was my pianist, and we had a group, a trio, and we worked 5 nights a week for 11 years in this wonderful club in Kansas City. So Steve, I was appearing there when Steve heard me, and then from that came the Steve Allen Show. And on my last appearance, the show was going off the air. The Steve Allen Show from Ranch Market was going off the air, and an executive from RCA saw me, and they called out of the clear blue sky and said, we want to record you, and we want to do it really big, you know.
Mm.
And he was a musician also. The A&R man was Joe Renee, and he was a musician too. And he said, we're going to do it with Don Costa and Manny Album arrangements. So, Don Costa was the Frank Sinatra arranger and Stephen Eady and lots of wonderful singers. So my arrangements that I cherish to this day, they are timeless. And
I assume you did standards, what we consider now standards. The songs weren't that old back then, but
did you write
any songs, or were you completely a cover artist, as it were?
Well, I got to do what I wanted to. I had the power of accepting it, but yes, you're right. I was kind of the commitment singer, and they would guarantee a Marilyn May recording if they could get the cast album.
Oh.
So I released Cabaret and Sherry and Step to, from How Now Dow Jones was a song called Step to the Rear and Let a Winner Lead the Way. And those songs were released before the Broadway shows opened. And so I didn't realize any of that at the time. I didn't really understand that at the time.
Actually, in the notes for the research on this interview, I guess it was Wikipedia or somewhere, that it said your biggest hit was Step to the Rear and Let a Winner Lead the Way, which became Iowa Governor Robert Ray's campaign theme song.
Did you know that?
That's
right. He hired me to do that. It also was Senator Robert Dole's campaign song. Senator Dole hired me, but where it really was good to me financially was that it was the Lincoln Mercury commercial for 4 years,
a
national
nice.
Lincoln Mercury commercial.
that's good stuff. Speaking of which, we're having some good stuff here with Marilyn May, the singer, the wonderful and newly rediscovered almost singer
in New York.
In New York, well, yeah.
We've worked all over the Midwest and continued to work, but I just haven't been back to New York until about a year ago.
Well, for about 16 years you were...
That's right.
Why?
That's right, David. Just not the right venue for me, and I was making a very comfortable living in the Middle West, and just all the dates were, you know, our bookings were around the Middle West and the West Coast. Did Vine Street Bar and Grill on the West Coast and various clubs on the West Coast, but nothing in New York. The last place I worked in New York was Michael's Pub.
Oh, well, that's gone. That's
no more.
Well, yeah, but Woody Allen found another place. I guess you have to now.
I guess now.
By the way, might as well tell everybody, buddy, where they can see, and we can all see, Marilyn May over the next month or two.
We open November 7th. For 2 weeks at the Metropolitan Room, which is in Chelsea, in Manhattan. It's in the Chelsea area on 22nd Street between 5th and 6th. And it's a wonderful, warm, inviting, wonderful little room. It seats about 135 people. And it's a party every night. It's
well,
that kind of place.
There's no guarantee, but I will say, and I've been told that over the period when you've already been performing there over the past couple of weeks, there's been some stargazing going on. I don't guarantee that when you go see Marilyn May at the Metropolitan Room, you're going to see a famous face in the crowd. But I've heard her tell that a few rather notable folks have shown up.
Well, this time, in March, one particular show, Christine Ebersole, you know, the Tony Award winner for Grey Gardens,
mm-hmm.
and Barbara Cook were there this in the very same show that night. We had, this time we had Lucy Arnaz.
Oh, wow.
And Lainey Kazan. And Julius LaRosa, and you know, every so often somebody would show up. It's been Holmes.
Are you intimidated when you see a Christine Ebersole or a Barbara Cook, a singer like that, and you know they're there before the show starts? If you do,
yes, of course.
So you know you're going to be singing in front of people who, you know, who know a thing or two or three about vocalization.
But you see, I've done this longer than they have. I've done this for a very long time.
A gentleman never asks a lady's age. However, I am, can you say, is that...
Well, I'm old enough to know
better
what I'm doing, and and I'm timeless. but I did, it's funny you say, you use the word intimidated, because I... When the show that they, Barbara Cook and Christine Ebersole, were there, I did turn to Billy Stritch, my pianist, and I said, you know, it's a little intimidating having these two ladies here on the same show listening. And then I turned to the audience and I said, but not much.
And by the way, I love that casual way you say. And I turned to Billy Stritch, my pianist, my orchestrator, and it's like, Billy Stritch has played with Liza and with a host of rather well-known people as well. So it's not Billy Stritch off the street. You know, you bought him a bottle of alcohol and he decided to play for you that night. So.
Well, I have always wonderful accompanists. And Billy worked with me when he was 18 and 19 and 20 years old.
Oh, my.
In Houston, Texas. So I've known him most of his professional life. And then he moved to New York, and we've been working together for the past 6 years now. And he works still with Liza, and he works with Christine Ebersole and Linda Lavin. And
he's released some of his own music as well. I know I have a yes. Brazilian album of his. That's kind of
yes,
nice.
Yes, which is wonderful. He's a wonderful accompanist. And then John Rodby is my accompanist from the West Coast. He's fabulous. And Ted Firth. I work with Ted a lot. And I'll bet you know that name from New York.
That rings a bell as well.
He's wonderful, wonderful jazz player. But Billy and I, of course, Billy kind of grew up with me. He was a little boy and would kind of follow me around the club when I was when he was 18. And
aww.
And at between shows, he would say, "Now I noticed you modulated." You know,
a little smart aleck.
Like the arrangement, you know. He was really a very inquiring boy and terribly talented. He was always just, he's kind of a, he's amazing. He's just amazing how talented he is.
Dave's Gone By listeners know I love a good play on words, but let me say a good word on plays, my plays, in a lovely book called Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, comedies that range from strange to deranged, fun to read, and unmistakably Dave. Just $20 hardcover, $12 soft. Put down that crappy bestseller and pick up some laughs. 516-295-1511 or davesgoneby.org for Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World.
I wanna get married.
We're talking with Marilyn May on Dave's Gone By, the wonderful singer, delightful singer, and also delightful to talk to, as I'm finding out in our conversation at the moment. I'm curious, another question that I ask folks who've been around performing for a few years is the way tastes and the culture changes, because you started singing really in the 1940s, and then you were on TV a whole bunch in the 50s and continued your career. Was the fact of the Beatles and the rock and roll revolution in the 60s, did that affect what you were doing?
I think it affected my national recognition. in the 50s and in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. Part of the 80s, I did the Carson show, and I did the Ed Sullivan show, and I did the Mike Douglas show, and I did the Merv Griffin show. All of those things were very open to me, and it was wonderful. The recording industry was changing so desperately that. Helen, would you turn that down? I've got some noise going on.
Oh, sure, no problem. I don't even.
The recording industry was changing so drastically, and I was nominated for Grammy.
Yes, you were in 1966.
Yeah, that was for Best New Artist. But I was nominated along with Herman's Hermits and the Byrds.
Right. And Sonny and Cher.
And Horst Jankowski. So the category was pretty puzzling.
And you lost to some guy I have never heard of. Some you took his name, obviously, from a book by Henry Fielding, calling him Tom Jones.
That's right.
Nothing ever happened with him. Meanwhile, you're still here, and you're doing your thing.
Oh,
so.
Well, and I just have done it for so long. I'm very comfortable on stage. Of course, we get nervous, but having other artists there is really just a compliment and really is an inspiration. It doesn't intimidate me. It's wonderful. I know several of them say watching you is like having a master class because
I've
just done it for so long, you know. And I with the audience, I just consider it a big party, and everybody has a good time, and the audience participates, and I mean, I don't have community sing, but they're just so with me that it's just such fun.
I'm kind of wondering, of all the songs you've sung, and I'm sure you've been asked this question a few million times, do you have a favorite song and also a favorite song that you sing?
David, there's so many for different reasons. You
okay,
know?
Pick two or three.
We're doing this last time, the 2 weeks that we were in New York, we did a performance of lots of Ray Charles music because
ooh.
I recorded a CD called May Sings Ray. And it's all those wonderful songs that Ray Charles did, only like I do them, not like, you know, it doesn't sound anything like Ray.
Well, you're not blind and black. I mean,
they're kind of jazzy the way we do them, and he did too. You know, he was a great exponent of jazz and country and all of it. But there's one tune in it that I just had never done, You Don't Know Me.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah, and it's...
That's Eddie Arnold, isn't it?
He did it and lots of other people, but I just discovered it when I was looking for Ray Charles, and I do it. The audience does love it. Another one that we do, Just for a Thrill, and it has... The audience does seem to love that. So I... Those are... For that reason, and of course I love Misty and things that I recorded in my early days. There's just so many wonderful songs that I love for different reasons. One tune that's on my third album that Peter Matz did the arrangement called You're Gonna Hear From Me. And, it's a great, great tune. Sherry and the composers.
Cool. I don't recall the...
I'll tell you later. I just lost it. Your people will know.
Yeah, I've got all these people around here, and I can just call out to them, and they will answer the question instantly. So let me ask you, after New York, then you go back to Kansas City, and you have... Are you still married? Are you divorced?
No, I'm single, and my daughter is grown and teaching. She teaches singing.
Mm-hmm.
She was an actress, singer, dancer in New York for several years. She did that New York scene, and she was offered a position back in a wonderful school here where she teaches singing, and so she and I live in Kansas City, but of course I travel, you know, throughout the country. This year we're coming back to New York, and then we go to Vero Beach, Florida, and next week we go to St. Louis. There's a new cabaret in St. Louis, and we're working it for a week, and then we come back to Kansas City. Last night was a great, fun time, I have to tell you, David.
Why?
Because you talked about comedy. Martin Short was here.
Oh, my goodness.
In town, and I was contacted to be... Do you know his wonderful Jiminy Glick...
Of course.
...character that he interviews celebrities? And I got a message that he would like to use me on stage for that. We had so much fun. It is so cute, and he is so generous. He talked about my days with Carson and his days with Carson, but it was just such a great time. There are people here in Kansas City. I've worked it so...
Marilyn?
Yeah, I'm here. I've worked it so long that people, people know her in Kansas City. So it was great fun.
And
great comedian.
For the last question to wrap up with the wonderful Marilyn May, what do you anticipate, say, the next 5 to 10 years holding as far as your career in this world? I mean, it doesn't sound remotely like retirement is in the cards at all.
No, I'm just going to sing as fast as I can, David.
That's marvelous.
And we do come in now. We're going to be doing my tribute to Johnny Carson. This time in the Metropolitan Room.
Please remind everybody where, when, what, at the Met.
It's the Metropolitan Room. We open on November 7th for 2 weeks, and I think it's through the 18th or 19th. I'm not sure, but I know I even know the phone number, which
Please.
Is 212, of course, area code, and it's 206-0440.
Say that again, please.
It's 206-0440.
Well, folks, I assume by hearing the music this evening and by listening to our delightful guest, Marilyn May, you're going to be rushing to your phones tomorrow morning to get tickets to see her at the Metropolitan Room.
Well, it's going to be fun because we play clips from the Carson Show, and if you don't care to see her, you're going to love seeing Johnny again.
Well, I think they're going to care to see you a whole bunch. And I think it's been great to have you in the neighborhood.
Thank you, David. So nice visiting with you, and I'll look forward to seeing you on opening night.
You got it.
I'll be wearing ribbons down my back this summer. And streaming in the yellow sky. So if someone special comes my way this summer, he might notice me passing by. So I'll try to make it easier to find me in the stillness of July, because a breeze might stir a rainbow behind me that might happen to catch the gentleman's eye, and he might smile and take me by the hand to summer. Making me recall how lovely love can be. And so I will proudly a breeze might stir, a rainbow behind me that might happen to catch the gentleman's eye, and he might smile and take me by the hand this summer.
Priceless antiques. All that's missing is something to listen to. But of course, episodes of Dave's Gone By, the music, the comedy, the perceptive talk, entire shows preserved on compact disc. Any episode you choose, just $11, shipping included. No home is complete without Dave's Gone By on CD. So visit davesgoneby.org because you're worth it. Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. Yes, we're going inside Broadway, ladies and gentlemen, as we do every week on Dave's Gone By. Ooh, what's the whooshing noise?
We're going inside.
Ew. Well, that may be the sound of Broadway theaters this coming week, unless... And then there's a segue for you.
Oh, those stagehands, they just want more and more money.
Well, so the producers are getting more and more money, and that's why the stagehands want more and more money, and that's why there's all this talk over the past two or three weeks about potential strike and or lockout.
Mm.
Which means that the stagehands can or may decide to walk out now that the contract is done. And
done for quite a while.
How it isn't just
No, it's like 6-8 months without a contract.
Oh my gosh! So they're waiting and waiting, and the producers are budging a little, and they're budging a little, but not nearly enough to be on the same table yet. So,
well, it's all about move-ins, you know.
About movies.
Move-ins.
Oh, move-ins. Meaning?
When a show moves into a theater, they move in over the course of a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And what the producers want to do is they want to hire many stagehands to move in, you know, so people aren't getting overtime.
Mm.
And the stagehand union says, no, no, we only want the stagehands that are working on that show.
Right. Oh, to... And that's what they're not budgeting about. Well,
It's really about move-ins. Okay. There's a lot of money to be made there.
Right, and... There's a lot more money being made if the show is even remotely a hit or something like that.
Yeah.
But
really, if you look at I don't know whose side I'm on, honestly, but if you look on the producer's side, it's a more chance of them failing and not making their money back,
right,
than them making it.
I don't know why they can't make it so that they can't tier it. Like, everybody makes a certain amount when the show first opens. Then they make a certain amount when it breaks even. And then if it breaks even and gets past a certain point, then everything changes again. Why can't they just write that in and deal with that? So that the producer's risk is lessened and people are making money, but they make real money when the producer starts making real money and the backers get their money back. I mean, maybe they're already doing this and it's still not enough. I don't know. But well, what this is coming down to is there could have been a strike this past weekend, but both sides agreed.
There could have been a lockout this past weekend.
Well, you guys are talking to the mic, Jeff.
There could have been a lockout this past weekend.
Yeah, which, what is a lockout?
That's where the producers would say, okay, no show today, folks.
Why would they do that? I mean, if they're willing to avoid a strike,
I don't know why. To me, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. That's why I don't think there'll ever be a lockout.
So, and people should also know, by the way, that if this all happens, what this would affect is not every single Broadway show. There are some shows that I think it's...
Or the not-for-profit theaters would be still open.
Right. So the Manhattan Theater Club theaters, like the Biltmore, would be... I mean, this is only Broadway, not off-Broadway.
The Biltmore... Studio 54, the American...
The Roundabout stuff, right. And all the Disney shows are...
No, they're under the same...
Who made their own? The Nederlander theaters. The Nederlanders have their own contracts, and they are not affected. So...
No, I don't know.
I think Rent would not be affected. I think there are a couple of Broadway musicals that would still be...
No, I think it's really only the non-profit.
Jeff, if you're talking to the side...
I need a microphone.
You got to talk to... You're talking to the side of it like this.
Oh, then you won't have to turn the mic like that.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't tell me that.
Well, I'm telling you that now. So now we can hear you. But anyway, hopefully...
You know, like an amateur before?
Cooler heads will prevail and Broadway will continue. But it's going to be... Tuesday will be the real...
No, last Wednesday was the real test, one of them.
Yeah, but they haven't come to agreement.
No, Tuesday is the day that the union has called for a strike.
Right, exactly. So they wanted to talk over the weekend, make some probably more behind the scenes, whatever. And really, they both want to avoid... stopping Broadway at this point.
No one, well, first of all, no one wants to make no money.
Right. And this is when everything is, of course this happens in the middle of October when there's a show opening every week and it's everything's, happening now. That's when they all call the strikes. But anyway, let's move on to just a couple little Broadway news bits before we have some shows to review. First of all, we've got a couple of criminals joining the Killer Ladies in Chicago. On Broadway, Aida Turturro and John Pastore, or maybe it's Pastore, of The Sopranos, are going to be in Chicago from mid-November to early January 2008. Aida played... Are you familiar with Sopranos?
No.
I'm not. I'm not really... It's one of those miniseries I didn't get and
I don't even have
out.
Cable television.
Oh, well, there you go. So, wait a minute. What do you have, like an 8-inch TV and you don't have cable?
I have an antenna on my roof.
Okay. Well, and you get, what, 8 channels?
I get 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13, 21, 25, the Spanish 40, 41.
Wow.
I get, because there's a USHF.
It reminds me of 1978 when I was watching television. That's what I would get.
Yeah.
Well, you're not missing that much. But you were missing The Sopranos, which starred Aida Turturro as Janice and John Pastore as Big Pussy. So, ladies and gentlemen, Big Pussy is coming to Chicago in November.
And he's going
to
sing He'll Do Anything for Love.
I don't get it.
Isn't he going to be playing Billy Flynn?
I don't... It would be strange for Billy Flynn, but I'm not sure. She's playing Mama Morton.
Maybe he'll be Amos?
I think probably Amos. He would be more likely to play that.
Oh.
I don't know. I should have checked that. But anyway... That's coming to Chicago.
Unless, of course, he has a very high-pitched voice.
That's right. Then it'll come to the Ritz. And now...
No, you can play the news reporter.
Oh, Mary Sunshine.
Yeah.
The one character I can't tolerate in that show. But anyway. Oh, the inanity, ladies and gentlemen. Will Eno has a couple of one-acts going up. Will Eno, he's an avant-garde, weird kind of playwright who wrote The Wretched Tom Paine, based on nothing, which played about 2 years ago. And the New York Times flipped over, which still is beyond me. But he's got this show called Ode to Humanity at the Flea Theater, and it's happening next month, November 3rd through the 29th. And the only reason I'm even bothering to mention it is because it's going to star Marissa Tomei. So
what Tomei?
Tomei. Oscar-winning movie starlet with Jim Simpson, who is the husband of...
Jessica Simpson.
No. a much, much... more talented lady.
Meryl Streep.
Nope. No, but in that category. Sigourney Weaver.
Oh.
Jim Simpson, who is the artistic director of the Flea Theater,
oh,
is the hubby of Sigourney. That's why she does all those shows sometimes down at the Flea. But now they'll be doing the Will Eno Show with Marisa Tomei starring in November. And finally, in the news of Inside Broadway, the Hall of Fame of this year was announced. At the Gershwin Theater, ladies and gentlemen, inducted into the 2000 Theater Hall of Fame are John Cullum, Harvey Fierstein, Dana Ivey, Lois Smith, Jack O'Brien, Peter Schaffer, the author, of course, of...
Ruth and Death Trap.
That's Anthony, that's his brother. Peter Schaffer wrote Amadeus and Royal Haunt of the Sun. Joseph Stein, co-writer of Fiddler on the Roof, of course, and the late critic Mel Gusso. And so on January 28th, 2008, they're all going to get their names on the wall of the placard in Broadway's Gershwin Theater. So congratulations to all of them. Well, we have some reviews to do.
Did we tell people about the new man in the chair last week?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, who was that? Who took over for John Glover? It was the comedian, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember his name now.
Oh, from the Aristocrats. Bob Saget is the new man in the chair. I'm not sure when he starts.
I think he starts.
Started. Congratulations to him. Now, we have to start reviewing a couple of shows right after this message.
Ooh, let's listen.
If you love Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret, opera, and dance, isn't it time you subscribe to Performing Arts Insider, the ultimate guide to everything on the stages of New York? Listings, reviews, box office, and production news, all at 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners. To subscribe or get a sample issue, call 516-295-1511, 295-1511, or see PerformingArtsInsider.com. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By and our weekly Inside Broadway segment. I'm Dave Lefkowitz. I'm here with...
Jeff Goodman.
And we have shows to review. First of all, I'm going to talk about a show that I saw about 2 weeks ago called Mauritius. And what that refers to is the name of a particular stamp or in this particular play, two stamps that are connected together. And each stamp is really rare, but when they're together, they're so incredibly rare that they're probably worth millions of dollars. And therein hangs the tale in this story by Teresa Rebeck. You may know her because she wrote Spike Heels and a bunch of other plays. And she's also been a writer on Law and Order for about 10 years. So, but she still, God bless her.
Which one makes her money?
And well, yeah. But you know what? She didn't ditch theater. She comes back and she does more and more plays. And she's good. And she's she's slick. And she writes a play that holds the stage to an extent and can really write for actors. Forgive my little sore throat here, but... So the crux of Mauritius are these two sisters. They have no money. One of whom is really kind of down and out, and she discovers this heirloom, this stamp collection that comes down from the family, from the grandfather, but not her maternal or paternal grandfather, because they're like step sisters, I think. I could be getting a little bit.
Rip the stamp.
Well, the problem is the other sister, it was her grandfather, and she wants that collection, and it sort of is entitled to it, kind of. So they have this to deal with. But then, where things kind of get crackling, is this low-life, kind of sleazy, but also kind of charming fella who works in a stamp store. They still have a philatelic store.
Philatelic.
He realizes, philatelic, thank you, and who... realizes he may have something there, and he tries to woo her to get her to sell the stamps to his special client, who is a man of rather nefarious background, either a drug dealer or possibly an arms dealer, whatever it is, he's a shady guy you don't want to mess with, but he's got a lot of money, and he doesn't ask a lot of questions, and he loves stamps. That's his weakness. It's like, who's the evil guy on Austin Powers with a cat? Dr. Evil.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, everything's, but the little kitty.
$1 million.
So F. Murray Abraham plays the evil stamp-loving guy who's, like, really scary, except, of course, when he sees a stamp and he's, like, in heaven. It's just like listening to classical music for him. It's like, oh, my gosh. So they all arrange to meet, and there's this deal, and it's all kind of creepy and scary, and you know, is something bad going to happen? Is it a real stamp? There's a lot of thrown into question. Are they fake? Are they real? And or is someone playing a con on them? Or all this is going on. That keeps it interesting. My problem with the play...
Every so often here. Boom, boom. Boom.
Well, you know, I'll tell you one thing about Law and Order. They're usually a lot more believable. The problem with Mauritius is I didn't buy it. It's so incredibly implausible, the things that people do and the way that they react. The fact that this girl will come down alone to this dingy, really scary little stamp store to meet with a guy who is obviously from the underworld. You know, instead of, oh, I don't know, bringing the stamps to Sotheby's, like, hello, something like, doesn't occur to her. You know, she goes through all these things about wondering what the stamps are worth and talking to all these people before she bothers to check the internet. And I mean, it's just, and then the guy with the big suitcase full of money, I mean, every single aspect of it has you scratching your head and going, I don't believe it, ain't happening. She's just making these people do these things. So, if you're going to see Mauritius, see it for F. Murray Abraham, because he's funny and scary and really, really good. And you also have good performances from Bobby Cannavale, who people might remember as Will's boyfriend later on in later episodes of Will and Grace. And Alison Pill is in there. She was in The Lieutenant of Inishmore. She's quite good. The sisters kind of shriek and yell at each other a lot and have a lot of family arguments. Who cares? But I can't recommend the show just because if she had made me buy it, if the playwright had made me believe that these things really could happen, I would have been with it all the way. But every single time, it's like, no, no person in their right mind would do that. They wouldn't go there. They wouldn't, no. So I can't say yes to Mauritius.
So no to Mauritius.
No to Mauritius. Now, there's another show. This one's a revival of a comedy that opened over 30 years ago on Broadway. 33 years ago by Terrence McNally.
One of my favorite shows by Terrence McNally.
And it's called?
It's called The Ritz.
Yes. And The Ritz takes place in?
A bathhouse in New York City.
Now, are they all gone?
No, not really.
There are. I mean, are they still like that? The old bathhouses, though, or are they just
places? No, we really don't go to the
like Plato's Retreat.
Well, tell you the truth.
Yeah, no. But in the old days, and he makes them seem like, well, if you were gay, like a very accepting, enveloping, fun place to go for a night, get well, very orgiastically laid, but also to just meet people of your kind, to let it all hang out, to see some entertainment, and then, you know, live a life that you could not live back then, really publicly.
Well, I think this was kind of a, it was kind of an over-dramatized meeting. I mean, I can't imagine this ever happened. I mean, nor do they have big, gigantic shows. I don't ever think they had big, gigantic shows in these.
Oh, in the clubs. Okay, the maybe clubs. He stretches
and,
there.
Yeah, you know, I think he stretches a lot.
But then again, this is a farce, and plausibility is not.
And it's hilarious. It's, yes. It's a, you know, doors closing, people walking past, no, who's who, everyone, because, what was it, Ronald Reagan signs in, and then, all I did, then he signs in.
No, everybody's using the site, Joe Namath signed in, quote,
no,
unquote.
Joe Namath just put out an advertising, Joe Namath.
Oh, but the other point, and I was lucky enough, when I saw the matinee of the revival of the Ritz, the author, Terrence McNally, was brought out afterwards.
You are so lucky.
That was very cool.
I'm very jealous of that.
And he just said, look, he wanted to write a farce. He wanted to write an old-fashioned, funny, fun, door-slamming farce, but he wanted to do it about this milieu that he found fascinating, that I guess he had attended, that he was part of. And that's why he set it there. He figured he could have a lot of fun with it.
It's such a brilliant setting. Because in 74, it must have been so incredibly shocking to people.
Right. Well, now it is not shocking now.
No, it's not incredibly shocking, but it's still. I still think people are taken back, especially the way it was brilliantly directed by Joe Mantello.
Mm-hmm.
When he opens up from, you know, first it starts out, of course, with the father dying in Brooklyn, and the father puts
get Proclaw,
which is, and of course the wife goes, "Oh, you want to talk to him? Fine. No, get him, kill him." He puts a hit on him.
Well, I will. Breaking here to say that one of the things that Terrence McNally had mentioned in his creation of the play was that they opened it out of town and they were working on it, and it just didn't, it lay there. It didn't, something was missing. People weren't getting it. People were really confused, and it wasn't until he added that opening scene of the dying mafioso type of saying, get Proclo, and putting, telling his son, you have to go and kill Your brother-in-law.
Yeah, because otherwise...
Otherwise, your audience is suddenly thrown into this bathhouse, and there's a guy there who's hiding away, you know, hiding out from his brother-in-law and wants to kill him. It was just too much for them to take in, and they were just, like, sitting on their hands and not getting into it. Soon as they added that opening,
yeah.
And turns out, in this particular production, which is a marvelous set... And you have to have a good set for a farce.
Oh, yeah.
Those doors have to slam, and the set can't fall down. And it's also fun to watch. The first set that they had when they first tried it out was Battleship Grey. And he was told, you know, he was a young playwright. He didn't know. If you're grey, there's nothing. The audience has nothing to look at, nothing to laugh at. Paint it a fun color. And so they went with, I guess, red back then, and the original red. And, again, it helped. He said it built the laughs and the audience... 75%. They just totally spun it around, and they started laughing and having a great time with it. So, little things like that, he said. That's what you learn from the years of being a playwright and doing it and being professionally produced. Those little things you wouldn't even think of. The collaborative process of theater. But, so you saw the original of The Ritz.
I didn't see the original production. I read it, then I saw the movie
okay.
a couple of years later.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know... And then I read it. I laughed myself silly when I read it.
Okay.
And I had been a fan of Terrence McNally since I had read Bad Habits. I'd seen Bad Habits, one of the acts of Bad Habits. And then I found out that he wrote something called The Ritz, and I got a copy of the script, and I read it. I thought it was terrific. Then I saw the movie. And, of course, it starred my favorite actor. One of my favorite actors in the world was Jack Weston.
And this particular production, the character is played by Kevin Chamberlain. A marvelous actor.
Just exactly like Jack Weston played it, too. He looked like Jack Weston. He acted like he sounded like him. It was terrific.
Now, what did you think, I guess, the showpiece character in the show is Googie Gomez, the singer with no talent, but who wants to be on top of the world.
Yes.
And was asking everybody, are you a
producer? It also kind of has a heart of gold, too. She really does.
Kinda.
Oh, yeah. Well, when she finds out that his brother-in-law is trying to kill him, she tries to help out everybody.
Okay, well, that's what did you think of Rosie Perez?
I thought it was a brilliant cast. I thought it was a great casting. However, you cannot redo Marita Moreno. And I think that she was good. I think she was very fast when she spoke.
Yeah, I had trouble understanding some of the things she was saying, which made it, you know, because you were always wondering when she opened her mouth, okay, am I going to understand her? Or is she going to be funny? I'm going to laugh. And it was about 50-50
for me. I know the script well, so I was laughing with it. But she would come in like Googie Gomez had Gomezisms, which is she gets every single colloquialism backwards.
Right.
So she comes in, it's raining in the opening scene. She goes, "Ugh, it's raining. Dogs and cats."
Right.
You know?
I mean, she does that a lot, and some of them are fun. But you miss a lot of those when she's doing it. What you do get is the physicality of her, which is very, very good. And there's a way that she says something about opera, or she pronounces one particular opera.
Yes.
That what was all her. McNally said, Moreno didn't do it, nobody else did it. And that gets one of the biggest laughs in the night. Very funny.
Yes.
So... I have to say, I told you this off mic, this so far is my favorite Broadway show of the season.
I'm so glad, because I love it.
It's really nice.
I was very happy.
Funny, good farce.
I think that who plays, I'm blanking on the name.
Brooks Ashmanson is quite good.
As Chris, fantastic.
Chris is a very nice, normal guy who can't seem to find a man to be with.
Chris is the typical gay man. He sits there, the first line is, he goes, "Hello, girls, I'm here."
Right.
And it's like, and then from there, it's like, orgy in room 215.
You get the feeling that Dennis O'Hare would have had that role if he weren't busy.
Yeah.
It's a role just for someone like that, you know?
And then to, I forget who played him, but the Chubby Chaser, it was just...
Oh, he was quite good.
I had seen him. He was in the short-lived summer TV series where they were making little movies on Channel 5.
Oh, really? Well,
he was
Kerr is
yes,
the fellow's
he was
name.
Wonderful.
He was
Patrick,
very, very
he
good,
was
yeah.
terrific. I thought Vivian as the wife was good.
Yeah, that would be Ashley Atkinson. That's her name. Name that is not really ringing a bell.
No.
It's a very good cast, and it's very well directed.
But
it's
the
a
original
good farce.
And the original cast was even better. I mean, Jerry Stiller played the brother. It just Everyone in this.
So we both recommend strongly The Ritz. So The Ritz is playing at Studio 54. It's a roundabout theater production.
And if you can't get a chuckle out of The Ritz, you're dead.
Yeah, at least a chuckle or two. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the roundabouts spend so much time concentrating on George Bernard Shaw. Maybe this is what they should be really spending their time on. So we're spending a little too much time on Broadway and inside Broadway. So let's finish this up, and then we'll wrap up Dave's Gone By for this Sunday night.
Okie doke.
We've just been inside Broadway, thanks to TogleTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. Do you know who pays for this wonderful program? Not the radio station, not the government, not even the vicious comedy elves. No, the people who keep Dave's Gone By going are the sponsors and the listeners, people getting their message across to Dave's audience. Your advertising dollars can support every show, while at the same time bringing Dave's listeners to your restaurant, your travel agency, your yogurt shop, whatever. And if you don't think advertising on Dave's Gone By is effective, a certain theater magazine, mortgage company, and coffee shop would surely beg to differ. So, try a half-minute ad for half a year, or a full-minute ad for a whole year. Either way, you will become part of the Dave's Gone By family. A strange, dysfunctional family, but a family nonetheless. See the rate card at davesgoneby.org or email davesgoneby@aol.com and they will be in touch.
Hi, this is Marilyn May and you're listening to Dave's Gone By. I'm so honored to know Dave and to be coming to the Metropolitan Room in New York, November 7th. It was lovely being with you, David, and you're listening to WGBB.
And it was lovely being with the lovely Marilyn May on Dave's Gone By tonight. Honored. She was honored, Jeff. Honored to be on this program. How low her career
is. Sometimes it just sinks.
Everybody, go see Marilyn May at the Metropolitan Room in Manhattan.
And ask her about that desk with Johnny.
Well, yeah. And hear her sing the songs from her. Do I have her CD here?
I don't know. Do you have the CD?
It's called Super Singer, a tribute to Johnny Carson. We'll actually go out with the song What Are You Doing the Rest of Your Life, which is by...
Great question to ask Johnny Carson.
Alan and Marilyn Bergman and Michelle LeGrand. Well, what's he doing the rest of his death? But
the Bergman. Didn't they write The Way We Were and stuff?
I believe so. Well, no, that was Paul Williams, I think. Oh. But Bergman's wrote a lot of stuff. This is from her album, Super Singer, a tribute to Johnny Carson, Marilyn May. We thank her so much for being in the neighborhood.
Thanks, Marilyn.
We have to wrap up quickly, but I can't not tell you some of the stuff we're going to be doing on Dave's Gone By in the weeks ahead. It's amazing.
What are you going to do on the weeks ahead, Dave?
Coming soon on this program, some of our other guests include the wonderful singer and actor Jason Grah.
Love him.
Who is Drama Desk nominated for Hello Mother, Hello Father. He was in Olympus on My Mind. He was also, and I didn't even remember this, the Lucky Charms Leprechaun for many years. Voice of the Magically Delicious.
They were.
And I'm sure he's going to be a magically delicious guest. Jason Grah, coming up in a couple of weeks. We also
Who's
going
to be here next week?
Next week, we're still working that out. Dates of the people.
Oh,
we're
hearing. In negotiations. Maybe it's the union leader.
No, actually, I think Jason might be here next week. And then we've got coming up the Amazing Kreskin.
Ah, the Amazing Kreskin.
So if you use your mental powers, you'll know when he'll be on. And we also have, and I'm so thrilled about this, Gerard Alessandrini, the creator, the director, the mind behind Forbidden Broadway.
Maybe he could write us a theme song.
Yeah, that would be great. Well, he would end up stealing the melody from somewhere else.
That's right. Well, okay.
That's cool. Anyway, a couple of quick things. I want to give a shout-out to Iskandar Altang Bonet, the son of some friends of ours. He turned 5 years old this weekend, so happy 5th birthday, Iskandar.
Oh, how about your friend over here turning?
Well, it's 2 weeks from now. Stop it. Don't even go there.
Send your gifts, too.
We're going to send a congratulations to Danny Burstein and Rebecca Luker.
Why?
People who love the show know that they were both on our Tony shows over the past couple of
years.
Are
they pregnant?
They and Roger Bart and Bebe Neuwirth will be getting the Broadway Beacon Award tomorrow, Monday, October 15th. Gesundheit, Jeff.
It's a benefit. Which is also Boss's Day.
That's right. And this thing is a benefit for something called, I never heard of this, something called Inside Broadway. Somebody else has used that phrase.
Sue 'em!
It brings young people to the theater. So everybody, if you want to see Danny Burstyn and Rebecca Luker, who are friends of this show.
We love them.
We do indeed.
And they're starring in Mary Poppins and the
Drowsy. She's in Mary Poppins and he's still in the Drowsy Chaperone. So, and he was Tony nominated for it. And actually, they both were.
Yeah.
They're both Tony nominees
and
for their
both
respective shows. Also, I want to remind everybody,
couple.
Michael Lydon and, well, of Mandel and Lydon is doing a free concert October 19th with a band and a small horn section at the 3rd Street Musical Music School Settlement. And you know his special guest, Jeff, we mentioned this last week, Steve the Whistler Herbst. One of my very first guests. He's a professional, semi-professional whistler.
Okay.
October 19th at the 3rd Street Music School Settlement. Also, I want to remind folks that this coming Saturday at the Patchogue Theater, mostly Mop Top, go hear them do Beatles music.
Mostly.
The number is 631-207-1313. 631-207-1313.
Mockingbird Lane.
Tickets are only $25 for Mostly Mop Top at the Patchogue Theater. And now our usual very quick wrap-up of reminders to tell people, yes, you can still hear 25 vintage episodes of Dave's Gone By for free anytime.
Only 25?
Only 25. Well, that's a pretty decent number of free shows.
But I'm not on any of them.
Yeah, you are on a couple of them, actually. You can hear Jeff isn't on many of them, but he's on a few at theaterpod.com. With theater with an E-R, theaterpod.com. Also, the big thing, the television stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, have you been watching Rabbi Solomon's show?
Why, of course we have.
It's called Shalom Dammit, and it airs Wednesday mornings at 7:30 on Channel 20, Cablevision Channel 20, on Long Island. You can also catch episodes on YouTube at any time just by going to Shalom Dammit. You definitely want to see this program. And if you want to see some of Dave's Gone By on the radio on TV, check us out Friday mornings at 7:30. Also on Channel 20 on Cablevision. And let's see, what else? I want to thank Joyce Wilde, my beloved wife. And,
congratulations on the pregnancy, Joyce.
Oh, she's not. But thank you anyway. This is running gag that Jeff won't let go, even though it was never funny to begin with.
That's right.
And it's not like a Gilbert Gottfried thing where it will eventually be funny. Well, actually, if she ever gets pregnant, it will eventually be funny. Yeah, but it isn't yet. So we're going to be playing
Until Then.
What Are You Doing With the Rest of Your Life, the Marilyn May cover of that song. So that's how we'll go out. But we will be back next Sunday, October 15th, with the 243rd episode.
Actually, it's going to be not October 15th.
Oh, excuse me. No, I should have changed that. It's October 22nd. 21st. Excuse
21st.
Me. Sorry. Should have changed that. Sunday, October 21st, with the 243rd episode of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz.
And Jeff Goodman.
Wishing you a good night. What are you doing the rest of your life?
And gone by.
What are you doing the rest of your life? North and south and east and west of your life. I have only one request of your life, that you spend it all with me. All the seasons and the times of your days, all the nickels and the dimes of your days, let the reasons and the rhymes of your days all begin and end with me. I want to see your face in every good light, in the field of dawn and forest of the night. And when you stand before the candles on the cake, oh, let me be the one to hear the silent wish you make. Those tomorrows waiting deep in your eyes, in the world of love you keep in your eyes. Oh, I'll awaken what's asleep in your eyes. It may take
take a kiss or two.